part of Scripture, and it's a very important subject that we're looking at this evening. John 16, verse 1, "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I do not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper or the Divine Counselor will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak. You may remember that I told you of them. And these things I do not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper or the Divine Counselor will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." This passage of Scripture, as you read over an account like this, and as you meditate upon it, and I believe as the Spirit of God reaches deep into the soul of a believer, there are things that come out that become very meaningful and important. In this case, you know, we read so often in Scripture, we know that the Lord Jesus was omnipotent. We know that he is omniscient. He knows all. And there are advantages and disadvantages to knowing everything in my soul. In this case, the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing all, He is endeavoring to shelter them and protect them from the things that are to come. And what he is about to share with them will provide them with an insight of which they have no knowledge at all concerning the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Because remember, they really can't perceive of him, although he's already told them on more than one occasion, I will be betrayed, I will be delivered up to the magistrates, I will be convicted, I will be put to death upon a cross. But they just could not understand that. And, you know, to lay out something like that before someone, certainly could have a great impact upon their own personal peace. Peter, at one occasion, was like saying, don't say that. Don't say that. But it was true. When he tells them very openly, time will come when you'll be put out of the synagogues. The synagogue was a very special place for Jewish people. They gathered there, of course. They believed in one God. And they had a rich history as God's people. It's a very special place. Special days were observed there, many things, rituals, and all of the things that were associated with the religion of the Jews. It took place in the synagogue. But something's going to happen that they'll be told, you can't come to the synagogue anymore. You're not welcome here anymore. What in the world can they do to rule out being welcome to the synagogue? Well, they're going to find out. Time is coming that whosoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Now, you chew on that one a little bit. There'll come a time when people that are given the opportunity would put you to death. And in so doing, whatever it is that you have done that you're guilty of, instead of God judging you under the law, do not murder, do not kill, it will be like you're doing God a favor. You're serving the Lord by actually putting someone to death. That's going to happen to you in your life. I have no real concept in my mind of how they could accept that. This is so unreal. What is he talking about? Someone will kill us and think he does God a favor. He said, well, the reason they do it is because they have not known the Father nor me. They don't really know God. You see, the people of God, without really giving the proper place to the Lord Jesus Christ, had rejected the will of God. The plans and purposes of God had been laid aside. They wouldn't accept it. And they were, in a sense, just going through the routine of worshiping God, but they really didn't know God. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew all of this, and certainly they didn't know him. And the sad thing about it is, his own disciples didn't really know him. They knew he was special. Peter already declared, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But I do believe that there was, with some reservations, that he said that. I think he knew that, in some sense, because of what he had witnessed and miracles. And all the things that the Lord Jesus had done, But there were deep reservations. You know, the Lord said at that point in time, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But just think about it for a moment. The Spirit of God had not yet come. And man's conscience could be touched because of the sin in his life, but the Lord Jesus is going to introduce them to something that will happen that makes sin very real, especially to a believer. And it will be the ministry of the Spirit of God. And that ministry is what I'm trying to, in this passage, bring to our attention tonight. The ministry of the Spirit of God, what He does. Remember, our God is a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So God in spirit is going to perform a wonderful ministry to the people of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is seeking to enlighten them to that truth. And He could say, I told you of them, and these things did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you, but now I go away. You see, the time is coming. His time here upon the face of the earth in fulfilling the will of God is drawing to a close. Yes, He knows all. He knows all. I've often said there wasn't but one thing that He didn't know that He had never experienced, and that was that He would be forsaken of the Father. He didn't know that because that had never happened. But anything else that you want to think of, He knew. He knew all about His mission. He knew that even before the foundations of the worlds were laid, that He had already been selected to be the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. He knew all of this. Just think about that for a moment. And He even says, seems really kind of strange that after what I have told you, you haven't even asked me where I'm going. You know, if someone, a friend, said they were going off someplace and began to give us some details about, where are you going? Where are you going? But they didn't say that. Thomas, you know, is the one that, we don't know where you're going, and or we don't know anything. But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. That just, to me, it speaks to me of sometimes how vulnerable we are. And we can be sometimes distressed and filled with grief and sadness and sorrow. The Lord Jesus Christ is seeking very carefully, step by step, to prepare them for what's going to happen. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. You do understand that. You know. I know. You know. But they don't know. They don't know. Although He's announced it, as I said, over and over. I'll be betrayed and delivered up and put to death and all that. They don't. They still don't believe that. They can't grasp that. And what will be accomplished? And that one sacrifice for sin, securing forever perfect righteousness for poor sinners that would accept Him. They don't know that. They don't know that. They're so limited in what they know. You know, I've often heard, and perhaps you've heard this too, I would have liked to have lived in those times. I wouldn't. We know far more than they knew. We know far more than they knew. I can see why they would become distressed and that they would certainly be sorrowing in their hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now there again, I could go further down in the passage, and I read it, in which he had told it, he had told them that he would have spoken to them more openly and more plainly about some of these things, but the truth of it was that they weren't prepared to accept it. But sin. You know, certainly they knew about sin. But how could they identify him with sin? This is the Son of God. He is perfect. He had never sinned. And certainly they had witnessed a perfect life lived for the glory of God. But the Spirit of God would convict human beings of their sin. You know, a man left to himself without hearing the gospel and without the Spirit of God would not be really aware, consciously aware of his sin. Everything's okay. What's wrong? What are you trying to do? Start trouble? You're a sinner. You're a lost sinner. And you're doomed. And you're going to spend eternity separated from God in the lake of fire. That wouldn't go over too well, would it? But my Lord is telling them that as a ministry to be performed by the Holy Spirit, that Holy Comforter, one just like me, that will come and minister to your needs. He'll help you through this hard time of understanding what this is all about. Sin is a dreadful thing. Certainly, they could look back, and if they had any knowledge of what happened in the garden, the fact that Adam and Eve, perfect in their creation, had fallen, sin had come into the world, created real problems for mankind, has ever since it happened. Certainly they had some knowledge of that they were sinners. Why was the law given? The law had been given to help them have a life that was somewhere close to being in the mind and the will of God. But sin. They had not the slightest notion of what he was talking about when someone would tell them, we're all sinners. The Son of God has come into the world to be the answer to the sin problem. While he's on that cross and while he's subjecting himself to the will of God, in that he's willing to be made a sacrifice for sin, he's providing the answer to man's problem. How can I get out of this horrible dilemma of being a poor sinner condemned and to be separated from God forever and ever? They had no knowledge of that. But all of that comes to mind, and the Spirit of God will help to get them over the rough places, if you will. Help them to realize that what's going to be accomplished in solving the sin problems, this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that you have come to love, the one that you respect, and you have him in that role of being the Messiah. He is a wonderful person. And he is to accomplish something that you probably never had any thought in your mind that it would be accomplished the way it's going to be accomplished. sin because they do not believe me. That was the problem then. That's the problem now. Men are condemned already. Men are condemned already. You see, people don't see that. Well, I won't be condemned until that day that I stand before God. Oh, no, you're condemned already. Because light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are evil. We begin to understand more and more why it is that people keep doing the awful things that they do. They love to do it. That's sin. That's the power of sin over a human life. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And certainly, sin is something that Satan is guilty of. First sin was committed in heaven. A fallen angelic being, the brightest of all God's creation. So he knows what sin is. He wasn't satisfied until he had caused the man in the garden, man and Adam and Eve, to defile themselves by disobeying the will of God. So sin, the Spirit of God will know how to convict of sin. There has to be an awakening in your soul. You would have never been saved apart from the mighty work of the Spirit of God. In view of the fact of what God has already done, it's not like God hasn't provided for you. Some people must say, I make a choice. I don't want Him as my Savior. Therefore, He can't condemn me on those grounds. Oh, but He will. Because all have sinned. All that is on the face of this earth is created of God. And it must conform to the mind and the will of God, ultimately. Regardless of what you think about it. Or what opinion you have of it. But the Spirit of God can bring it so forcibly home to your heart. I am a sinner. I have sinned. And sin is a dreadful thing. And you know and I know when we gather here on a Lord's Day morning, we're brought face to face with what sin did. Our Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross and put to an open shame, forsaken of God because of sin. Sin. We should never take it lightly. Sometimes we may be so casual in talking about sin and the trend in the world today and what it's doing and how it seems like there's a movement in the world completely away from God. People throw up before us all kind of percentages and how many people are not even interested in believing in God or believing in the Lord Jesus and have adopted other means and other ways. Completely blind. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who will not believe, who will not accept the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This won't do it. He is the divine image of God. He is the Savior of sinners. He has died upon a cross for the sin of the whole world. God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. People don't believe that. What are you talking about? Well, it's in the Bible. I can show you in the Bible. I don't want to see that Bible. Not interested in what the Word of God has to say. But you know, brother and sister, I can't convict them of their sin. It takes the work and the ministry of the Spirit of God. Now, you can tell them all about, this is what the Scripture says about your condition. But I can't convict him of his sin. You must trust Christ as your Savior. You must receive Him to solve the sin question in your life. The Spirit of God has to do that. And so, you know, we sow the seed, And a brother was just quoting that to me this week. One sows, one waters, but God gives the increase. That's what we hear. And then he told his disciples of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of righteousness. God has one standard of righteousness. God never acts independent of his perfect righteousness. What is about to occur, the thing that he is seeking to warn them of, the reason why they will be hated and despised, is all because God, in the person of his Son, has finally carried out his plan to produce perfect righteousness that would allow him to deliver a poor sinner from the penalty of his sin and death. The Lord Jesus Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, he knew no sin. He did no sin, had no sin of his own. But he took upon himself our sin and its penalty. What did we receive when we received him? Perfect righteousness. Put to my account. Righteousness! True, pure righteousness. Something that has no defilement in it. It's pure. It's holy. It's God's righteousness being put to my account. You know, if sometimes you don't get aside and think about these and kind of jump up and down a little bit and just rejoice in your soul, the perfect righteousness of God has been put to my account. Some people that know me may not think so, but it has been. It has been. It's been put to my account. Perfect righteousness. That's why I can stand in the presence of God. Anyone that thinks he's going to stand in the presence of God, and you hear this so often, I'll tell him. I'll tell God what I did and why I did it. Oh, no, you won't. No, you won't. No one in his sin can stand in the presence of God without experiencing death. God is holy and righteous. That righteousness has been put to our account. That righteousness would be put to the account of the disciples. A judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Thank God for that. Satan has already been judged. He's not waiting judgment. He's already been judged. He's already been assigned. The lake of fire was created just for him and his fallen angels. He's been judged. Yes, judgment has been meted out. The thing that sometimes can be so frightening is that a man, with any kind of knowledge at all of how righteous God is and how much he wants to provide salvation for his creatures, mankind, that they would not take very seriously the judgment of God. God's judgment is very real. And believe me, when God meets out judgment, he really judges. If you don't believe that, think about the flood, the ark, floating around with 8 people in it that survived the flood, that killed everybody else, everything on the face of the earth, put away. The evil, the sin that was in God's sight had to be judged. Children of Israel making their way out of Egypt, and they go through on dry ground. Pharaoh and his army. Judgment. Judgment. Think of all the things that come to your mind. And think of all of the people today, and we may know some of them. And sad to say, sometimes we may say, I've got loved ones. I'm not sure if they're saved or not. They're facing judgment. Judgment. They're not aware of it, but they're already judged. God has judged them because they're still in their sin. The wages of sin is death. They are dead spiritually. That second chapter of Ephesians starts out, you remember one time we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Yes, we were. But now I'm alive unto God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this whole passage is one that just opens up the door and will give you something to think about as far as the ministry of the Spirit of God. I have not seen, ear have not heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, but by his Spirit. You see, the ministry of the Spirit of God in sealing these things home to our hearts and minds. And here we have these that he's speaking to, and he could say to them that he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The Spirit of God, I think, does a wonderful, wonderful service to you and me. When we open this book is the sword of the Spirit. And when we take this word into our minds and hearts and souls, he uses it to minister the blessing of God. And it brings peace. And it brings what we need in the way of quietness in our souls in very troublesome times. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for truth in thy word that enlightens us to the wonderful, wonderful person of the Holy Spirit. That he came on that day when those disciples were gathered together and he told them that they would be witnesses unto him by this power. And Lord, we are empowered, we're indwelt by the power of the Spirit of God to be witnesses and ambassadors for you in these troublesome times. Do receive our thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.